Let's pray. Father, your Spirit inspired the word to be written. We pray that now he will come and make known those things to us which your word contains and help us to apply them in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? One of the things that I got into the habit of doing early in each week over the years of parish ministry was choosing the hymns for the following Sunday. I haven't had to do it quite so much in our time here at Holy Trinity, and certainly not over the last few weeks that I've been on leave. But generally, of a Monday morning, I would grab the hymn book and start checking through for songs that fitted the following Sunday's readings and theme. One year, I flipped to the Pentecost section in the index and picked a couple of suitable songs in pretty quick time. But I soon came up short. I didn't really know many of the other hymns, and there weren't very many of them anyway. I thought, surely there's got to be more hymns than that about the Holy Spirit. I dug out another hymn book and found a fairly well-known one straight away. And sure enough, when I looked back into the first hymn book in the index there, I found that hymn as well. It's just that it wasn't in the section under Pentecost. It was in the section under the Holy Spirit. And I think much of that applies today as well. In our thinking about this particular day, Pentecost Sunday, we can look at Pentecost and what that's all about, the celebration of when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the birthday of the church, people wearing red and orange and yellow and all the Pentecostal flames and so on. But we can also spend time thinking about who is this Holy Spirit anyway? Who is he? What does he do? And all of those things, I think, are fitting topics for a day such as this, the day of Pentecost, when we think about the coming, the person, and the work of God's Holy Spirit. And it's also fitting to think about those sorts of things as I conclude my ministry here among you today, but also in the firm conviction, or I do so in the firm conviction, that the Holy Spirit of God will continue the work that he's been doing among you. So, Pentecost. Some years I've focused more on the day of Pentecost itself and then used other times throughout the year to talk in more depth about the person and work of the Holy Spirit himself. But after today, I won't really have that opportunity amongst you anymore. And so as I finish up today, I thought it would just be good to review fairly briefly some of the things about God's Holy Spirit as I encourage you as the people of God in this place to enable the work of God's Spirit for God to keep doing his work amongst you by his Spirit. But first, very briefly, the day itself, Pentecost Sunday. What is Pentecost Sunday? Well, it's now a very significant Christian festival, originally Pentecost was a Jewish festival celebrated 50 years, hence the name Pentecost, 50 days, not 50 years, 50 days after the Jewish Passover. It wasn't a particularly important Jewish festival or a particularly significant one, but for us it's come to be known as the birthday of the church. The Jewish festival, more often known as Shavuot, marked the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. And so the Jews celebrated it 50 days after the Passover festival. But the Christian celebration of Pentecost marks the day when God poured out his Holy Spirit on all the followers of Jesus as a fulfillment of what had been promised long before in the Old Testament. Mostly throughout the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit of God bestowed on certain individuals for a particular time and for a specific task. When God gave his Spirit to a group of elders in order to help Moses in his work and ministry, a couple of others outside of that group were jealous, and in response, Moses said, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that he would put his Spirit on all of them. That day has now come. In the latter part of our Acts reading, Peter says to all those who stood there amazed at what was going on, that this was in fulfilment of what the prophet Joel had said about the dawning of the last days, the outpouring of God's Spirit on all who come to faith in Jesus, as he'd only been granted to select few in the Old Testament times. That outpouring of God's Spirit marked a change of an era, the beginning of the last days. The Christian church had begun. Now, various parishes and various individual church buildings might have their own birthdays on certain patronal festivals and so on, but today marks the birthday of the church. Some churches I've known and even been involved with have had a birthday cake on Pentecost Sunday and sung happy birthday to themselves as the Christian church. We individually come to new birth and eternal life when we put our faith and trust in the risen Lord Jesus. But we trace our identity back as the people of God to this outpouring of God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus that we mark today at Pentecost. But who or what is the Holy Spirit, and what does the Holy Spirit do? As we look to the future, who is this Holy Spirit whom we'll look to for strength and guidance, and what can we expect him to do in our midst? Well, some churches are known as Pentecostal churches because of their focus on the Holy Spirit, and often because of their focus on the more vibrant and spectacular of the Spirit's activities, like those perhaps that we saw at that first Pentecost. Now, while we are unified with them in the fellowship of Christ, I think that sometimes they might overemphasize their focus on the Spirit of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is equally God with the Father and with the Son. But much of the Spirit's work that we see in the Bible seems to be pointing away from himself and pointing to the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is a self-effacing spirit. And so it's not always helpful, I don't think, for us to focus too much on the Holy Spirit either. However, before I point the finger too much at others, however, it's sometimes been pondered whether the Holy Spirit actually turns up in some of the gatherings of the more mainline churches like ours. I have a little dictionary packed away in amongst boxes of books at the moment. It's a little dictionary called the Oxford Church English Dictionary. It just looks like an Oxford English Dictionary, but it gives lots of definitions for lots of those church terms. And one of the definitions that it gives for the Holy Spirit is not known in most churches. What a sad indictment that would be if that should prove to be the case amongst us. So if we to neither focus on the Holy Spirit nor neglect the Holy Spirit, what are we to think about God's Holy Spirit and his work amongst us? Well, he is kind of an energizing principle or power, a bit like the Jehovah's Witnesses claim. He certainly got those first disciples going on that first Pentecost Sunday. He turned them from a frightened, dejected, ragtag band into a group who spoke the message of Christ boldly wherever they went, even if that meant going to their deaths. He changed them from a disparate, fractured group into the people of God, full of zeal for their Lord and full of love for one another. So yes, he's like an energizing principle or power, but I think he's far more personal than that as well. Jesus, who urged his followers in the upper room just after the resurrection to receive the Holy Spirit, also told them that out of the hearts of all who believed would flow rivers of living water. And the Apostle John tells us that by that he meant the Holy Spirit, who would be poured out on those who believed. Jesus said elsewhere in John's Gospel that the Spirit would draw people to him and he would grant them new life in him. In another place he said that the Spirit would take what was his, what belonged to the Father and to him, and to make it known to them. He urged the disciples not to worry beforehand what to say when hauled before princes and kings and governors, because the Spirit would give them the words to say. And St. Paul reminds us in many of his writings that it's the Holy Spirit's work to make us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And so it can be truly said that the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to us and form Christ in us. The Holy Spirit's major work is to reveal Christ to us and to form Christ in us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does this in amazing, spectacular, supernatural sorts of ways. On that first Pentecost, there were tongues of fire, the sound of mighty rushing wind. The onlookers thought that the disciples were drunk as they spoke in all kinds of tongues and languages. The early church saw healings and prophecies and miracles as signs of the Spirit's work. Though perhaps we oughtn't to be looking for the supernatural at every turn, as some necessary kind of evidence of the Spirit's work, who of us would be game to say that the Spirit can't do the same today? Or who of us shouldn't be overjoyed when the Spirit does do the same today? But the Holy Spirit also did and does work in often seemingly mundane and ordinary ways too. If the Spirit of God was God's agent of his work in the creation of the whole world, then none of creation is outside the sphere of the Holy Spirit's interests. Some of the so-called spiritual gifts are unusual and spectacular, and some of them seem to be more the Spirit's enabling us to put some ordinary talent into special use for God's blessing and the building up of his people. Remember, the Spirit's aim is to bring glory to the Father by revealing Christ to us and forming Christ in us. And he does so by giving all sorts of spiritual gifts to all his different people, but different gifts to different individuals. But the Spirit also achieves his purpose by growing his fruit in us and amongst us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit being formed in each one and formed in our midst. The fruit of the Spirit's activity in each of our lives, as St. Paul reminds the Galatians, will hopefully be an increasingly evident activity and evidence amongst us and within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In short, if you look at all those characteristics, it's the very likeness of Jesus, the character of Christ. The Spirit has brought us to new life in Christ. He's poured out on each one of us, bringing us into membership in the church, with its birthday being celebrated today. He's revealed the truths of Christ to us by giving us his gifts and his fruit, and so forming in us that character of Christ in our midst. In short, the Holy Spirit is God with us. He's kind of like the stand alongside God, or as another of the little entries in my church English dictionary describes it, the Holy Spirit is God's kiss. May he kiss each one of us today and every day into the future to which the Holy Spirit is calling and leading us. Amen.